Assessment Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. My name is Jared Cohen. To my right, your left, Mark McClune, CBS 5 Sports, joining our show once every, what, 4 or 5 months that we get to do together. So we'll try to, you know, make the most of it.
Good to be back. A lot to talk about. Still kind of in that malaise with the Cardinal season ending and, you know, basketball locally with the Suns and the Sun Devils not going too well. At least we have the Coyotes, but really looking forward to baseball. Really looking forward to golf coming up here in about 2 weeks. Really getting really excited about the Phoenix Open.
Love golf. Yeah. Love golf. It's when I get to act like I'm somewhat of an expert while these guys are walking around, and then I don't really cover golf again for the rest of the year, which is something I want to change because I really like golf. I like being around it.
Yeah.
And there's such great golf out here.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like an untapped sport around here that I think that could get some good traction.
So well, I'm just getting word inside my headphones that you've been tabbed to start a new golf page on the website.
Maybe.
You're in charge of it, and you'll drive all content. So,
I'm glad. Does that include a race?
I don't know. Eric?
Yeah, no. Whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, okay, good.
It's perfect. Awesome. All right. So we got Brian Jeffries coming up on the show. He's going to join us, the voice of the Wildcats. The Wildcats are in action tonight, trying to avenge a loss to
Battle
Cal.
Battle of ranked teams, right, down in the old Pueblo?
Believe it or not, the only two ranked teams in the Pac-12, and maybe this is a conversation for another day because we're going to get into the Cardinals here shortly, but the Pac-12 is, you know, kind of really, I think, kind of under-heralded this year.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's as deep as ever, but nationally the perspective is clearly the best team is 18th ranked, the other best team, Oregon, is 23rd ranked, and everyone else who's at the top or the middle of the standings isn't ranked at all, but yet you look at the RPI, I think almost the entire conference, minus two or three teams, are in the top 70 in RPI. There's only 64 teams that make the tournament, you know?
Yeah.
So there's terms of strength and schedule, RPI, wins and losses, there are top 70 teams all through the Pac-12. That makes it pretty deep.
No, for sure. But I watch college basketball, and I mean, I am constantly, with all the upsets this year, turning on a game and saying, I have no idea what's going to happen, and I don't know who most of these guys are.
Yep.
And we cover sports for a living, but there's just so much turnover, and at the end of football season, it'll be nice to dive in, but there have been, even with Arizona going down at Cal the other night, and ASU-Stanford, those are two very entertaining games, but I almost feel like I watch it sometimes, and I'm, you know, just trying to keep up. It's like, what happened to the team that I knew, especially with the Arizona team?
Well,
then
they lost four starters, and they've been without Alonzo Trier, and they were without Caleb Tarzuski for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
So we'll get into Arizona coming up next with Brian Jeffries. But first, we're going to play a little game, kind of putting the bow on the Cardinal season. You know? And once the week is over, we can start looking ahead to the future. But for now, since it's the next time we'll be able to get to do this again, we're going to play a little game, and I want to give Eric the credit for the title of this one. He's calling it Take 'em or Leave 'em. Ding, 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 ding.
Does he say that? Do we have, like, announcer guy back there? Or no, you are. Okay.
Our boy Jared behind the desk has a fantastic voice for voiceovers. Maybe he can give us a Take 'em or Leave 'em.
He
doesn't have a microphone, though, so he's got to get with it
in that regard.
Anyway, so the Arizona Cardinals finished their season in not the fashion I think many people hoped.
Yeah.
So now we look ahead, kind of in a way of putting a bow on the season and looking ahead to next year. Take them or leave them. Here are a list of unrestricted and even some restricted free agents that are going to be leaving this team. And I'm going to ask you, Mark, and we can go debate back and forth a handful of these guys. Would you like to keep them on your team, or are you willing to part with them? And the first one I'm going to mention, probably the biggest name of the group that the Cardinals will be losing this offseason, maybe the most sought-after one, is Jerrod Powers.
Yeah.
Jerrod Powers, take him or leave him?
You have to take him. He's a coach on the field. And the strength of the team is the secondary. Now, he's probably the one to go in the secondary with the emergence of Justin Bethel, but with the amount of spread, you know, the amount of, not spread offenses, but the amount that people are spreading out the field in the NFL, I don't think you can have enough defensive backs. And we saw this year with Tyrann Mathieu going down that there's not a whole lot of depth there. So as much as Bruce Arians likes Jerrod Powers, it didn't really seem like his play slipped a whole lot. You have to take him, but then again, if some team's going to come in like the Browns did with Carlos Dansby and offer him a ton of money, he'd be crazy not to take it. And that's, it comes down to dollars and cents.
That's what I'm most worried about. I don't see Jerod Powers being a guy that you break the bank for by any means. I can totally understand where you're coming from with his value and what he's meant for the team. He's been a voice in that locker room. But at the same time, he's not the type of player that you need to invest a lot of money into. Yes, he's only 28 years old. He's got some years behind him, and he's a great nickel corner. When they had to spread him out opposite of Peterson, I don't think he was set up for success, and that's kind of one, kind of midway through the year, you know, over the Bengals game and some of those other games, he had some games where he struggled. He's not an opposite side corner. I think he's a nickel corner. That's where he's set up for success. And there's a lot of talk of moving Tyrann Mathieu back to the safety to kind of roam the field to protect the knee a little bit to get him out on the field. That'll put Powers in that nickel. But if someone wants to break the bank for him, if I'm Steve Keim, I don't match that.
Well, and he's so an intelligent guy, a great guy to talk to, but he's so smart on the field. He's a coach on the field, and he lines everybody up. And you can just tell he's a leader in the locker room. He's the guy that stands in front of his locker. Everybody goes to him and gets information. He's very confident. He's great in front of the camera. And the dynamic seems to really work in the defensive backfield because he's an Auburn guy. Rashad Johnson's an Alabama guy.
Interesting.
And then you got the two LSU guys, Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. They have a lot of bets and kind of give Justin Bethel some grief for going to Presbyterian. And then I think Tony Jefferson feels left out because he's an OU guy from the Big 12. But you could tell he's a leader. So, you know, Larry Foote didn't come back this year. After last year, he was kind of a leader and moved into a coaching role. You wonder if Jerod Powers will end up being a coach on the staff at some point. But
Too young for that now. Though.
Right. I think if there's a fit there, you got to bring him back.
Bobby Massey, take him or leave him.
Well, I think we've heard Bruce Arians say that DJ Humphries is ready to step up and he would have played him this year. So I think Bobby Massey's going to hit the market and he's probably going to get paid. And he's probably learned his lesson about sleeping in his car at the Super Bowl. I go back to the Seattle game this year in Seattle when Carson Palmer fumbled twice and resulted in two Seattle touchdowns. And Massey was looking inside. The rush came from outside. It seemed like he really got better, though, as the season went along. You weren't looking at your TV screaming at Bobby Massey.
Until the Green Bay and Carolina games, I feel like everyone on the offensive line really struggled. But I kept seeing him get beat.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you have DJ Humphries sitting there. He's a former number one pick. And if Bobby Massey's going to get beat like that, can't at the very least a younger guy that you have locked up get beat like that? And it seems like DJ Humphries is a pretty they're high on him. But there's been some tough love. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's very young.
Here's an interesting one, and you and I talked about it, threw it back and forth before the show started. Drew Stanton is take him or leave him.
I take him. I mean, he's won games in the NFL, and I mean, backup quarterbacks are there to get you through when your starter is hurt, and I think it's inevitable that starter's going to miss games at some point. I mean, for Carson Palmer to make it through the entire season, and for how many snaps did Drew Stanton get this year?
Barely any.
Yeah, the Seattle game when things went wrong.
He played garbage time in a couple of games, but really.
But that, I mean, that you, I think you have to have him because if Carson Palmer goes down, you don't want to throw Matt Barkley out there and be grooming him. You can groom him in practice. Now, maybe.
Well, then that raises the question.
Right.
If you don't bring back Drew Stanton and you're not sold on Matt Barkley, do you look for the piece that's out there? You know, I'm not saying the Cardinals are going to go for an RG3. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that are currently backups that are really going to be hot commodities, I think, this offseason. RG3, probably Johnny Manziel, surprisingly, just because of his name.
Are you saying that the Cardinals should bring in Johnny Manziel? Is
absolutely
that what you're saying?
Not.
Okay.
I think that would be one of the worst moves of all time. He doesn't fit anything.
Probably drive a lot of traffic to your media outlets, though. So.
Yeah, well, Mike Glennon is a name
that's
backing
not
up Jameis Winston.
That's not going to drive a whole lot of traffic to our media outlets.
But if you're thinking about who is going to take over one day when Carson Palmer is out there, do you want that time taken up by Drew Stanton, who's 31 years old and a career backup, who maybe sets you up in a better position to win if Palmer gets hurt initially? Or do you want another guy that has played games but is also being groomed for the future in the system so that when Palmer decides to hang up the cleats, you kind of have that guy in place? Or do you draft somebody? You know, it's the type of thing where do you want Drew Stanton to take up? They only keep 2-3 quarterbacks. Do you want Drew Stanton, who really will never be really more than a backup for this Arizona Cardinals team, even when Palmer's gone? I can't see him being the guy when Palmer is gone unless there's just nothing else out there. Do you keep that guy, or do you start grooming the next guy?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself, is Drew Stanton or Mike Glennon a better fit for the offense? And I think Drew Stanton knows the offense. He's won games in the NFL. The backup quarterback, look at Andrew Luck this year. Look how much the Colts struggled with quarterbacks. They signed Ryan Lindley at the end of the year.
It's true.
So
Hasselbeck played pretty well, though.
Yeah, I think but he got hurt, too. And there's just a tremendous value on what Drew Stanton's given the team. Now, whether or not they're high on Matt Barkley, I mean, we're gonna find out. We'll basically know how they feel about Matt Barkley if Drew Stanton comes back, because there could be a situation where Matt Barkley's played well on the scout team. We haven't been in there to watch it, and we really didn't see Matt Barkley this year in training camp. So their decision will be based on how he's played.
We only have time for a couple more.
Yeah.
We won't be able to do a long discussion on him, so I want to give you 3 or 4 names. I want you to rank them in order for me.
All right.
We've got Rashad Johnson.
Uh-huh.
We have got Tony Jefferson, Dwight Freeney, Chris Johnson.
Who's most important to bring back?
Who out of those four, rank them for me?
Oh,
Rashad Johnson,
man.
Tony Jefferson, Dwight Freeney, Chris Johnson.
All right. This is a total with my head ranking, not with my heart. Rashad Johnson's quarterback of the defense. I don't think he played very well against Carolina, but the guy makes plays. Tough to see him not back. And especially with the Honey Badger recovering from a knee injury, maybe you bring him back for at least one more year and let Tyrann Mathieu take his time getting back from a knee injury. Tony Jefferson.
Who's a restricted free agent, Tony Jefferson.
Yeah,
only 24 years old.
Yeah, I think with the same thing with the Honey Badger, it's good to have depth in the backfield, in the defensive backfield, because same thing with Jerod Powers, like we talked about. That way you're not rushing back the key to your defense. Dwight Freeney. I think you let him walk and call him again in October.
Great idea.
Tell him to keep himself in shape, go work on his golf game. And then was it Ted Larson was the last one? Who was the last one?
Well, Ted Larson's a good one. The last one I mentioned, though, was Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Do you think the market's going to be good for a 30-year-old running back who just came off a broken leg?
Probably not.
I think Dwight Freeney and Chris Johnson, you tell them to hang around town. If they get another offer, great. If not, we'll be in touch.
But those aren't type of guys that with their veteran presence and leadership you want during OTAs or anything like that.
I mean,
that.
Maybe, but you know, you got Marion Grice under a futures contract. You're trying to get Andre Ellington healthy. I mean, maybe. It's not my money. I'd bring them all in. Because those guys are great for your locker room. Especially Dwight Freeney. I mean, every time he spoke, I felt like I learned something.
Really quick, bold predictions. What do you see most likely happening because the Cardinals need a pass rusher? Throwing in 2 crazy picks or 3 picks to trade up to get Joey Bosa out of Ohio State to get a pass rusher, or breaking the bank and signing Von Miller?
Breaking the bank.
Do you see any of those actually happening?
I could see him breaking the bank for sure.
For Von Miller?
Yeah.
Because that's what they need. That's what they talked about.
Hey, baby, no risk it, no biscuit, right?
But first,
that sound like Arians right
it
there?
It did. Yeah, did. Okay. And hey, first Von Miller has to play in a Super Bowl, though. We'll get to that later. But before that, coming up next, Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Wildcats. We'll talk U of A hoops and a little bit of football as well. They got a big weekend coming up, and then signing days next week. So we'll talk to the voice, Brian Jeffries. That's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat today on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports, streaming live. That's Mark McClune of CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. Luckily and happily to be joined now by the voice of the Arizona Wildcats, one of the best in the business. Brian Jeffries joins us, the Arizona Wildcats basketball team in action tonight against the Oregon Ducks, a battle of the only 2 ranked teams in the conference right now. And we'll express some concern with that with Brian. But first off, how you doing, sir, Brian? And what are you looking forward to tonight? Should be a really electric atmosphere at McHale.
Gentlemen, great to be with you. It's a fun time in the season here as we're about to make the turn in the conference schedule. And so every game, as you well know, has, I think, even been bigger than ever just because of the balance of the conference this year. And every team is good. Nobody is great. I think that it's going to go right down to the wire. But in terms of tonight, obviously this is one of the bigger games for a lot of reasons. Both teams have identical overall records. And since it's the only time Arizona and Oregon play during the regular season, this becomes a tiebreaker game should they end up with even records when the conference season is over. Oregon's rebuilt again under Dana Altman, who's done a great job, I think, just retooling that program year in and year out. And Sean Miller's got things going pretty good right now. So I expect this to be an outstanding basketball game tonight. These two teams have played some good ones before, although, you know, the Wildcats swept Oregon last year. So I know Sean Miller's made a point. He thinks Oregon's playing maybe better than any team in the conference right now. It'd be hard to argue against that. So how it rounds out, I think, there's a lot of statistics we could look at, but it's going to maybe come down to just effort and, you know, who wants it more tonight.
Brian, look forward to hearing your call up here in the Valley tonight, driving around. How would you explain Arizona's dominance at home over the last, 46 games, but also the struggles on the road, the differences between the two? What's kind of behind those two dynamics with this team?
Well, I think the home court, there's probably a lot of things that go into that. Certainly the tradition, and once Lute Olson got things rolling and McHale Center became a difficult place for teams to come in and play simply because Arizona had better players. And then you add the crowd to that. You put 14,500 people in. It's a knowledgeable fan base. They're there every game. They make it very difficult on opposing teams. And I think there's an intimidation factor that's built over the years. A lot of teams probably come in lacking a little confidence, and they say, hey, can we really win there? And that certainly comes into play. But, you know, the bottom line is you just have to have a better team. And for the most part, Arizona's had the better teams over the years. So I think that's probably what's built the home court more than anything. And when you go on the road, you take a look at this entire conference this year. It's been tough on the road, and Arizona certainly had, you know, its ups and downs. I mean, being swept in L.A., two games that went down to the last possession, beat at Cal last Saturday, game goes down to the last possession. And so the good news is that, you know, they could have won all three of those. The bad news is they've lost all three, and they need to figure out how to close games. And one thing Sean Miller's talked about this week, and it's not just this week, but really the difference between a win or a loss in a close game like that, he uses three simple words: attention to detail. And Arizona got out-hustled by California Saturday night. They just played harder. That's, again, you could break down the stats all you want, but the coach looked at the film. Of course, he saw it in person and said, they just played better, and the Arizona players have to understand that. And tonight's a great example. If Oregon comes in playing at its best, and you'd expect that, if the Wildcats don't bring their game at 100%, they're going to lose tonight, and that's all there is to it. And that, I think that's the message that Miller's been trying to send to his team, that you've got to be, right now in this conference, you've got to be at your best every night. And, of course, when the Wildcats go on the road in the conference, it's the biggest game of the year wherever they go. And sometimes that doesn't seem fair, but, you know, that comes with the price of success. And so they've got to understand that. Next week they go to Washington State in Washington, and that's going to be the biggest game in Pullman in Seattle. And so if the Wildcats don't buckle down and play their best, they're going to come away with some losses. And, you know, that's just the bottom line. It sounds simple. But trying to play at your best every single game, I think, is a challenge for every team.
The voice of the Arizona Wildcats, Brian Jeffries, joins us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. You mentioned something interesting off the top, that no team is great, but there are a lot of very good teams. And when you kind of look at all the numbers around the Pac-12, I think the last time I looked at it, all but two or three teams are in the top 70 in RPI, but only two teams are ranked. Strength of schedule, everyone is in the top, I think it's 80. I haven't looked at the numbers in a couple weeks, but overall, the conference statistically is very good, but you only see two ranked teams at the end of the day. So do you think that nationally the conference isn't getting due justice for what they deserve, or do you think they're about where they should be?
Well, I agree. I don't think that the eastern part of the country realizes how good Pac-12 basketball is right now, and some of that is just because of the time zone problem that we're in out here. The games start real late in the east. A lot of the people that do the voting either don't see the games or don't see enough of them to really make a fair judgment, and that's why the ACC is always considered so good, and I'm not saying it isn't. The Big 12 is getting a lot of attention this year, and well-deserved. They've got some outstanding basketball teams. I think, the just lack of attention the Pac-12 gets from the rest of the country probably leads to, you know, only seeing two teams in the top 25, although, you know, maybe I've just been around this too long, but I've come to the realization, and it's no secret, that the top 25 is a popularity poll, and so it just comes down to voting. That's really not going to make a whole lot of difference. I mean, it looks good, and you like to brag about it, but there's a lot of things more important than being in the top 25. Although, you know, I certainly agree with you. It'd be great for the Pac-12 to get that respect, because I think the conference deserves the respect. And even though there's probably a couple teams in the Pac-12 that could get to the Final Four this year, the way things look right now, at the same time, and we can say this about, at least in my opinion, college basketball in general, there's just not a super team out there where you say, wow, they are ticketed to win the national championship. And I think that's a good thing. And the competition here, not only down the stretch in this conference and every conference, but when we get into the NCAA tournament, I think it's going to be tremendous this year.
Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Arizona Wildcats, a 7 o'clock tip tonight between Oregon and Arizona down in Tucson. And, you know, if Gabe York makes a shot against Cal last week, we're having a completely different discussion about the popularity contest. The Cats probably jump up into the top 10. But with York having that opportunity, and I was kind of thinking back watching that play to the Nick Johnson final shot 2 years ago against Wisconsin and having a big moment like that in the postseason. How much do you think Gabe York learned from having that opportunity and having to really live with the results of the ball not going in there in Berkeley?
Well, I know it hurts anytime you get that chance and the shot doesn't go down. And if you had it to do over again, my only I don't know if you want to call it criticism or not. I'm not sure that they really got into their offense as quickly as they wanted to. It ended up being a shot that he has made before, but if you go back and look at the film, I think there might have been three or four California players, you know, running at him when he put that up. And I'm not making any excuses. I'm just saying that became a very, very tough shot. And I wish that maybe they would have gotten into their offense. And the offense was surrounded around Gabe York to make to shoot that final shot. But it just seemed like the shot clock had taken a couple seconds more than maybe they needed to get a better look at it. So, you know, Gabe's a senior. He's been through this. I don't think he's going to shake that off. He's been playing very good basketball. And like I said, they've had three games in the conference. Their three losses all come down to the final possession. And so when they can go either way like that, I think you have to look at the positive and say, okay, they've had a chance to win all three of those games, and they're going to have some more opportunities here. And any team that gets into a situation like that, you've got to look at the bright side and say, look, you're right there. Maybe you execute earlier in the game, and sometimes there's too much attention paid to the final shot. You know, if Arizona, you take a look at the first 4 minutes of the second half, and that's kind of when the Wildcats lost the game. They were up by two at halftime, and they committed six turnovers in the first 4 minutes and 20 seconds of the second half. They went up. They were up by two, and all of a sudden they're down by six, and Cal really had the momentum through the rest of the ballgame. And so even though you look at that last shot, it was really earlier in the half when Arizona put itself in that situation.
No question about it. It's Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Arizona Wildcats, with Mark McClune and Jared Cohen on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Let's switch gears to football a little bit. Brian, the Wildcats hire a new defensive coordinator, Marcel Yates. Just kind of your overall thoughts on his resume, what he expects to bring, and now that he's in Tucson, what are you hearing about what they expect him to bring to the table?
Well, I know this was a tough decision for Rich Rodriguez, because Jeff Castile, his defensive coordinator here, had been with him before at West Virginia. They've been friends for a long time, and that's always tough. But if you just take a look at Arizona's defensive numbers, really, since Rich Rod arrived, they've never been able to, crack the vault, so to speak. They've never been able to find that defensive formula that has been able to put them, you know, into an upward movement. In other words, the defense has been about the same for all 4 years. They've given up over 400 yards a game, etc. In this conference, you know, that's one job I would not want to have, is being a defensive coordinator in the Pac-12, because
no doubt.
The offenses are all so powerful. I don't think you could sit back and say, wow, you know, that's a great defense. But I think Rich Rod obviously knew they had to do something. They had to make some change. They had to retool in some way. And so getting a fresh set of eyes in there was the best way to go about it. And so pretty much the entire defensive staff will turn over. Marshall Yates comes over from Boise State. And, you know, interestingly, of course, Arizona and Boise State played against one another at the Fiesta Bowl over a year ago. And Yates was the defensive coordinator in that game. Now, you know, I'll just throw this out just for, you know, public knowledge, that Arizona actually outgained Boise State in that game, even though the Broncos won that game over at Glendale. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think the big question is going to be, what's he going to do with the defense? What style of play? They've been using what they call the 3-3-5 stack defense. And a lot of people, and I'm not saying, you know, it's right or wrong, but a lot of people don't feel that defensive set is going to work in the Pac-12. And so is Yates kind of ran a 4-2-5 at Boise State. I don't think that he's made a decision yet as to exactly what they're going to put on the field, but probably something a little bit different. And then the next step, of course, is recruiting, because no matter what type of defensive scheme you have, they've got to get more players. They've got to get better defensive players in the program. And I think letter of intent day is right around the corner, and all eyes are going to be on not who Arizona signs as offensive players, but who do they bring in on the defensive side, because mm-hmm. they need help in just about every area.
It looks like, back to basketball real quick before we let you go, looks like it's a stripe out tonight down at McHale Center. I don't know if you looked at the diagram. Do you know what you're supposed to wear? There's like one section supposed to wear white, one section what are you in tonight?
You know, I'm almost on the aisle that divides between red and white, and so I've been torn by this. I don't know. I don't have a striped shirt. You know, I don't know if I have a half red and half white.
Maybe you just wear like a black shirt and kind of be like the shadow between the two lines.
Yeah. You know, that's an idea. I brought one of each tonight, and then I'm going to kind of wait. So, you know, I hope the TV doesn't, you know, cameras don't catch me changing shirts there early in the ball game.
You know, we're going to be looking for that now.
This is a completely new dynamic to watching this game tonight.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's all fun, right?
Absolutely. Brian, thank you so much for your time, as always. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
It's Brian Jeffries, good the stuff. Voice of the Arizona Wildcats, one of my favorite people in the industry and one of the best in the industry. It's always good to catch up with him.
That, for sure.
Coming up next, the Suns lose again. Ah, shucks. They lose to the Cavs and LeBron
lose,
last
baby,
night.
Lose, baby, lose. Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons!
We'll get into the Suns' stretch of 17 out of 19 losses after the break. That's Mark McLuhan. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat on AZ Central Sports and Sports360AZ.com.
Welcome back to Sports 360 AZ. This is the Brad Sesmat Show from CBS 5 Television here in Phoenix. Martin McLuhan alongside the one, the only, Jared Cohen, kind of still in a daze here after the Cardinals season ended from last week, trying to get over that. And usually you just roll right into Sun season, and that's okay, but this season it's a much different story what we're cheering for.
It feels against everything we should stand for as a society, hoping that a team loses. But that's the nature of the beast in the NBA. The teams that are going to compete for titles this year have the best players in the world on them. The San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi Leonard is playing at an unbelievable level. He is so much fun to watch. It drives me nuts that the Suns took Markieff Morris over him. Steph Curry.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah.
It's going to depress me the rest of the show.
Do you want me to depress you even further?
Yes, please.
I've talked about this with other
people. They're already losing so much that it's depressing.
Let's make it that much more depressing.
You're making it a miserable experience.
Are you ready
but all
for this bombshell?
Yeah, here we go.
So the year before they took Markieff Morris over Kawhi Leonard in the draft,
yeah,
the Suns had the deal in the works. The deal where they would have acquired Steph Curry.
Yep.
And what was it? Andres Biedrins for Amari Stoudemire.
Right.
That deal,
instead you got nothing,
which we have found out was all but sealed until Don Nelson decided to bolt. So the Suns in consecutive drafts, if all things went according to plan, could have had Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard in consecutive drafts. And we might not be sitting here. Right? I mean, granted, those guys are products of a system.
Right.
Maybe they don't have the same careers in Phoenix. However, I like to think that a player is a player at the end of the day, and those two guys could be the core of a Suns roster and the next great Suns team.
So the biggest issue was the deal was in place. The Suns celebrated. I remember our friend Paul Coro writing about this on draft night, him looking up high above the draft headquarters down at the U.S. Airways Center, the then U.S. Airways Center, and seeing the Suns celebrating because they knew they were going to get Steph Curry. And that got out, and then Don Nelson and company up in Golden State were like, wait a minute, maybe we don't want to trade this guy. What do they know that we don't know? So, and I think right now, you watch Golden State, and you mentioned San Antonio competing for a title. I don't even know if they're competing after that game the other night. I know they didn't have Tim Duncan. I don't think that matters.
This Pops.
You might want to just cancel the
mind.
Season.
That's like, because everyone was making such a big deal out of the regular season game. You know, Pop was just kind of like, eh. It's just a regular season game.
Right.
Well, we don't want to put anything on film. We want to get them overconfident.
Wow.
I can just totally see that being the case.
Yeah, for sure. And you talk about the overconfidence there. Not a very confident team right now, the Phoenix Suns. And Jeff Hornacek, a guy who's searching for answers. They went down to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Actually had a 5-point lead at one point, and then LeBron got angry and started staring at people, and Devin Booker was one of them.
Poor guy.
Yeah, but the night before, they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers, the worst team in the league. The team the Suns are chasing right now for ping pong balls to be the worst team in the league. And here's Jeff Hornacek after that loss. It is a team that really does not sound like they're responding to their head coach right now.
Well, you have your little opportunities there. Their threes hurt us. You know, that was part of our scouting report. Certain things we were supposed to do on these guys, and they didn't do it. So, that's what gets frustrating at times is, coaches put together a plan, and you got to follow it. Else, we're just wasting our time.
Still, though, you know, to see you guys bounce like that and bounce back like that in first game of a trip, could have just packed it in, but you guys kept fighting. Just how proud of it to see you guys be able to do that tonight.
Good for that.
You know, we got to be past that. It's about trying to win these games, not just get down and then battle back. They kept playing at least, but you can't get down. And again, that started early in the game.
First game of a trip, is that possible factor at all? I mean, coming east, is that any factor at all?
Oh, I don't know. Again, you can't use those for excuses. You gotta go out there and play.
He looks very unhappy.
I don't know if he's gonna make it.
Let's go.
I think he's gonna make it through the season, but with the assistants that have gone the other way, it's not something. Something's got to change, right? He's a good basketball coach, and they're still playing, but you got to shake things up. And it's so sad because of where we were 2 years ago.
What's going through Robert Sarver's brain?
Lose, baby, lose. Ben Simmons!
Yeah, but, you don't want to admit that, and that's not how you want to run your business, your organization. Yeah. What's going through his mind if they don't get Ben Simmons, or they don't get Ingram from Duke, or they don't... I mean, I can't see them going after Chris Dunn from Providence because they have three point guards already.
Right.
Even though that guy's a stud. Have you watched Chris Dunn at Providence?
I've seen him in a flash. I think I saw a highlight. So yeah.
Speaking of flash, he reminds me of Dwayne Wade.
Interesting.
That's neither here nor there. But if you don't end,
watch more of the Friars.
They're good. They beat Arizona earlier in the year.
Yeah.
They gave them their first loss. Now the thing that I'm trying to figure out though is, and we were going over this, the Suns need help. In addition to them losing.
Right.
Because the Lakers are horrible. The Sixers, who apparently have the Suns' number, if not for the Suns, they would be way out in front in the Ben Simmons sweepstakes. The Nets are horrible. If you could have one of the worst years in the history of your franchise and still not end up with the top two or three players in the draft, in a draft that really is like college basketball this season, what we talked about with Brian Jeffries, not great, but good. You need a great player out of this draft with this bad of a season, and it is very easy to not end up with one at the same time.
Well, the if there is something to hang your hat on and something to look forward to, Eric Bledsoe, you know, out for the year. I mean, if this was any other year, it sounds like he probably could come back.
A meniscus,
you're not putting miles on his tires. I wonder about the Brandon Knight groin injury, if that's just going to shut him down for the year. You're not putting miles on his tires. And as bad as they're playing, I really enjoy watching Devin Booker play basketball. He's 19 years old. That is, by the time he's 24, I think you'll have something there.
If
TJ Warren can get out of the doghouse, I think you'll have something there. Alex Len has just got to play. They're young, go lose together, build a bond. You know, I don't think it's all bad. I think it's there's something there's even an entertainment quality when they beat Atlanta on Saturday night on Archie Goodwin's last second shot. That was the first time ever I'd seen Archie Goodwin on an NBA floor be comfortable because he's playing.
And he's playing great.
Right. This time last week I was saying he's never gonna, it's never gonna happen for Archie Goodwin, and now you're starting to see. Okay, if he were to come out right now, he'd probably be a top 10 pick in the draft based on athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to figure it out. Those guys all got to figure it out together, and by letting all these guys play monster minutes, that's one star away. And you never know if Kevin Love wants to come to town, and you win the Ben Simmons sweepstakes, you're 5 games back right now of Philly. So lose, baby, lose. That's what's going through your mind secretly, and what you're saying outwardly is this is a great chance for the young guys to develop.
So you're developing the young guys, and you're putting yourselves in the mix for a game-changing athlete who, oh, by the way, at 6'9", is first in the country in scoring among freshmen, first in rebounding, and second in assists.
And
you got Magic Johnson on your hands here.
Right, right.
A guy that just does it all.
A double-double machine. Yeah, he averages a double-double.
And he flirts with triple-doubles at the college level, right, which is unheard of.
Right.
Granted, LSU is not good. If they didn't have Ben Simmons,
right,
they would be a very, very mediocre, at best, basketball team. And because of him, they're better than they are. But they're barely above 500 with him.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, he's a freshman. So watch how this team develops and grows over the coming days and weeks. See if they can get the NCAA tournament.
No question.
Go all Danny Manning on us.
We'll wrap things up and look ahead to Super Bowl because we probably won't get a chance to do that next week before the Super Bowl comes. So we'll
on
do
CBS
that
5, by the way.
On CBS 5. That's CBS 5 Sports. Is Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, the Brad Sesmat Show, Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. You can stream it. Just filling in for Brad today, I'm Jared Cohen. That's Mark McClune from CBS 5 Sports.
Do we know
Sports.
Where Brad is? Is he on
big? Yeah, Brad's doing big things in California. He's screening the Jesse Owens movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's become like this like pop culture sensation, you know, interviewing Will Smith and doing stuff around movies and junkets.
Has he worked his way in, and we probably need to investigate this, into actually being in the movie to be the reporter?
I feel bad for the movie.
No, he'd probably be
a disgruntled actor, you know. He's too many demands, wanting certain things in his trailer.
Yeah.
He seems like he'd be a pretty high maintenance extra.
He'd like
extra
rock and refuel, definitely.
There would be rock and refuel in there, no question about it. Yeah. We'd have quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But he'd be a lot to. I think they'd be at better.
High maintenance.
Just keep him at an arm's length. Let him interview the people, but not get too close, too involved.
All right. We'll have to. If we get a call for Brad to do a movie, tell him too high maintenance.
Too high maintenance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So again, that's Mark. I'm Jared. Really quick, you can check out on Sports 360 AZ. Casey Benson. Remember Casey Benson?
Yeah.
Three-time state champion.
Yeah.
He caught up with us. He's back in town. They play the Wildcats tonight. They're in town to play ASU this weekend. It was cool to catch up with Casey. And have you seen this? So the GCU Lopes, speaking of Casey Benson, his brother TJ Benson is an assistant coach for GCU.
Yeah.
He has not shaved since they lost last. They've won 11 in a row. He told me that he's had to trim above the lip a little bit just so the beard doesn't go below his lips and doesn't leave remnants of food on there. But he has not shaved, so he's got a nice little beard going.
Nice.
So, Casey and I poked fun at him a little bit. He said he loves the beard and gave a shout-out to GCU. But
Lopes are on 3TV this weekend. They got Bakersfield.
Huge game against Bakersfield tonight.
Tim Ring's doing the pregame show over there. We were talking about it. We were looking for a scouting report on Bakersfield.
They're good.
Yeah.
They can play. They're athletic.
Got an Egyptian guy from Houston, Ali Ahmed, I think.
Yeah,
6'9".
And you can check out on Twitter, a GCU fan, so I'll give this a shout-out as well. A GCU fan has put out a petition to the Obama administration to make GCU WAC tournament play and NCAA tournament eligible at 18-2 on the season.
See, while I agree with the premise, I don't know if the federal government should be spending time right now worried about that. I think that's more of a petition to the NCAA. I think maybe Jerry Colangelo could pull some strings. But when I've talked to people over at GCU, they say there's no shot of that happening. But you know, who knows? Who knows what's happening inside the walls?
It would be nice, and it would be a great story. But unfortunately, that's not going to be.
They're building something though. It's a fun,
it's a lot of fun
atmosphere, and as our state grows, I mean that's a small part of the story right now, and what that's doing to the west side of Phoenix and higher education. There's only a couple different options. You go to towns like Philadelphia. There's what, 15 different colleges, institutions of higher learning inside the city. You know, in Arizona, what do we have? We have three right now. We have four, and then Arizona Christian, five. It's just not as our state grows, you're going to see more colleges. You and I should start a college.
Let's do it.
We should.
McClune U.
I like that. What would our mascot be?
Something, I'm sure, the remnants of something Texas.
Fighting. Yeah, it could be the Longhorns.
The McClune University Longhorns?
Yeah.
Very good. So, hey, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl? What are some storylines that jump out at you the most?
Man, I think Carolina's playing like a team on a mission right now. I can already see things not going right for Peyton Manning because I still have that in my mind from the last time he played in the Super Bowl. But you're talking about two ferocious defenses. The only way I think Denver stays in this game is if Cam Newton isn't Superman. And I think a lot of times he is Superman, but he'll let you back in the game. Even during the Cardinal game the other day, when they were down 17-0, I kept saying to the television, and anybody in the Channel 3 CBS 5 complex that would listen to me, I said, the Panthers are going to let the Cardinals back in this game. They're going to do it. And lo and behold, they did, and the Cardinals completely squandered their opportunity, dropping a punt, and Carson Palmer throwing the interception in the end zone.
And how about Ted Ginn playing as much of a factor as he did?
Wow. I was there last year when he fumbled the kickoff in Carolina as a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and we talked to him after the game, and the interview was two questions because he was so mad, and he just ended it because he obviously didn't want to talk about it. I mean, he tried to stand up and be accountable, but you could just tell what that game meant to him and how well he played. And you just wonder, man, if Ted Ginn would have played like that his whole career, he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right? You know, it's funny. There are certain guys that have been like that when they play local teams.
Yeah.
You know, like Mario Elie would be a Hall of Famer.
Right. I feel like everybody's been
Manu
like that.
Manu
Ginobili. About Phoenix brings out the best in everybody. You get here, the weather's nice.
They play better. There's some more guys. Eric, who are some other guys that have been, you know, just Phoenix sports killers? There's been a lot of them.
Mostly against the Suns.
Yeah, mostly against the Suns.
Granger, before they signed him here, remember when he came to town and just...
There's been some against the Diamondbacks, I know.
I mean, Mario Elie is the one that just, sticks out.
Clutch City. Houston Rockets,
Clutch
baby.
City.
Yeah, back-to-back champs when Jordan took the year off.
I really want to soak up everything involving Peyton Manning because he is probably the best, one of the best professional athletes of my generation to this point. And it would be a lot of fun to see him go out on top.
I was just laughing at the Frank Caliendo, Jeremy Schapp thing that's out there right now.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's football camp. And just how it's just quirky and it's fun and he's been classy. And, you know, he's accused of using HGH this year. And, I mean, if Peyton Manning's on HGH, it doesn't work. And that's not my joke. We've heard that a lot. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a guy you grew up with. Same thing with Tom Brady. When Tom Brady calls it a career, it's going to be sad. And speaking of calling it a career, did you see Mike Leach, the long snapper for the Cardinals, retired yesterday?
Yeah, and power to him. You know, what a career. 16 years. You know, really quickly.
Yeah.
Long snapping. You don't have to be an amazing five-star athlete to be a long snapper. But if you want to play football and you have a passion for football, maybe get your college paid for to play football, go learn how to be a long snapper because they are very important and you can make a nice career out of it.
Yeah. Google, I did a story on Turner Bernard, the number one ranked long snapper going to San Diego State.
Example.
Yeah. He snaps at, I mean, just like 60 miles an hour. It's crazy.
His dad, Ben Bernard, is a coach, a long snapping coach.
Camps. You go to camp. But so back to Mike Leach real quick.
Yes.
Because I just want to tell the story. I want to tip my cap. I did last night on the news. But so my son, last November, we have to go to Phoenix Children's Hospital. We're there for 8 days. A leukemia diagnosis that they backed off. And they ended up saying, we don't know what's wrong with your son. It's not leukemia, but for 8 days, it was some long, hard days. We're in the hospital. We had to stay the night there. For any family that has to go through that, the heart goes out to you because it's a really difficult situation. We were real blessed to be able to get out of the hospital. But Mike Leach was there making the rounds and walked in the room with my son and played catch with him.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's a memory. I mean, it couldn't have come at a better time. An Arizona Cardinals player just spending time with him, and it wasn't. He stayed in our room for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And was playing catch with him. And so when I told my son Greer last night that Mike Leach was retiring, it was really sad. He got really emotional about it. That was his favorite Arizona Cardinal.
That's really
Mike
cool.
Leach.
That's
so
really
tip
cool.
of the cap. Not only a heck of a long snapper, but just a heck of a guy off the field. What he and his wife Julie do for PCH.
And excited to see what's next for him. I'm sure he's a great guy. And he'll be around in the community. But I love hearing stories like that.
For
that's
sure.
That's pretty great. That's Mark McClune, CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. Been filling in for Brad Sesmak.
Hold on. I got a question for Mark.
Yeah. Hey,
I got a question. I just had to get this in.
Did
so if you guys start this college,
right,
and they name it the Longhorns, are you going to hire Steve Patterson to be the AD? I mean, come on.
I mean, he's free.
Let's see. Not if I'm running.
What about Gary Patterson? Can we hire them both?
No.
Okay. What about
he's good where he's at? You don't want McClune U to be a winner?
No, he's good.
Okay.
He's good. But I mean, Steve Patterson's just kind of hanging out right now, counting his money. So
You know, he could be a booster, certainly a donor.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey. Does he still have his house here in the Valley? What do you think? I'm guessing
that's,
no.
That's for the next show. We're going to have to go investigate. Drive around, listen to Brian Jeffries tonight, and we'll go see if his...
CBS Sports Insider?
Yeah.
We'll just bump
do
around,
a little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I like it.
Let's go crazy.
Maybe while we're at it, we'll find the
Sports 360 mobile.
We'll find out where our campus will be, too. That'll be
good. It's good.
Maybe in McClune's backyard. That'll be
there
good. Again, that's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad today on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.